This week, because this week I've been, the first week of doing some chapels, and so our chapels in the morning, we read the gospel lesson today, and that's the bottom out of this 10th chapter of Mark. It's an astounding chapter. It reveals so much about Christ, but it also reveals so much about who these apostles were. And as I've read this, I've just been totally amazed about some of the things that you find in this particular passage. The Lord usually lets me kind of go off into stupid, into my thoughts, you know. And so usually when I read something, I start thinking about, you know, like these disciples, how goofy they were, how they just so missed it all the time. And I'll, you know, the Lord just, you know, turn it back and go, yeah, well, you know, you're no different. You're no different at all. And actually, the reality of the scripture is that he picked these 12 particular guys. He picked them all for a reason. And it wasn't because they were smart. It wasn't all because they were courageous. He picked them to be, really, examples to us. That even in our weaknesses and failures, that he's there. That he takes even our weaknesses and our failures, even the things that we would think of being like, how can you be like that? He takes that and he redeems it into it really glorifies him. In this passage, particularly, we see James and John. I mean, think about this. Jesus is trying to teach them a little bit about the kingdom. In the previous verses, you know, just before this passage starts, he's talking to them and saying, but many who are first will be last in the last first. And then it says that he was walking ahead of them. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a group going somewhere to do something, but usually the leader walks ahead because everybody else is kind of not really willing to do it. Whatever it is. Like, I don't want to walk that far. You know, I mean, have you ever been on one of those things? In a Christian group at a conference or something where they're going to go somewhere like the top of this hill, or there's this cross, or there's whatever. And you're just kind of walking back there in your mind, going, yeah. I wish I was in the air conditioning. I find that very interesting that these disciples were the same way that Jesus is, like walking ahead of them. It says that the apostles, these 12, that they were amazed. Now, what were they amazed at? What was so amazing? Was it this idea of the first being last and the last being first? Was that what was amazing? I mean, that was the last verse that he just kind of dumped on them. It says that the ones that were behind them, just the normal disciples that were following, you know, the large crowd, so that they were fine. So I think they were probably smarter than the apostles themselves. Yeah. And so, sure, you know, so this is what's going on when James and John come up with this great idea. Like, let's get our place settled. Let's get our blessing settled in place. So they come to this, you know, crazy thought. They were just told the first will be last, and the last will be first. And they come to him, Lord, but we want to be first. Basically, we want to sit at your right hand. And so then Jesus explains to them what that really is meaning. That he's going to be there. He's been in this discussion about his death, burial, and resurrection. And so he kind of reminds them of that. And then he asks them that question of, can you drink the cup that I'm drinking? And being much like me, they jumped up and said, oh, absolutely, no problem, not me. Done deal. Not me. Yes, absolutely. And so he really gives them a real revelation and tells them, you indeed will. Now think about that. This one says, they're not the smartest guys, because if you'd have been told that, if Jesus had been telling you that he was going to be beaten and crucified and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, which was like the most horrible thing imaginable, to be delivered into the hands of the Romans because they were going to, the abuse was unbelievable that they did to you. And he's just told you this was happening. And then he's just told you that you too would drink of the same cup. It's amazing. But they didn't like it. They were like, whoa. Of course, we know as we get to the end that James is one of the ones who totally deserted. That when Jesus was arrested, James is no longer found. John is kind of there, but he's hanging back. He's not all bold now. They're all bold and rugged. But not so much now. So, telling the story is always, for me, is about how about us? How do we do these same things? Do we come to a new Eucharist or Sunday morning? Conference, and we're all gung-ho, we're all excited, we're all yes, 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 yes. But then we walk outside and we have a tired and all those cell phones. Or we go to Walmart, the line's ridiculous, because the checkout lady is having a 10-minute conversation with everybody she checks out. Is that not the same thing to me? And Jesus has to remind them again, and this is a reminder for us. If after all this is all said and done, and after we've all agreed to and said, me too, Lord, I'm in for this, I'm by you, I've got you back, and all of these things, whatever these things are that we do, and Jesus reels them back in and reminds them of what he just told them. So this time he tells them very, very plainly to be the servant of all. And he looks them all in the eye and then he goes, this is how I am. This is how I come to be the servant. So if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you will be the servant of all. And that's sometimes, as Christians, we forget that. When we get off into this other stuff about being blessed and about being spiritual, and we forget the simplicity of what the real gospel is. Which is, as what we read every time in the Eucharist, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. We forget on those two commandments are the greatest commandments. And on those two commandments, if we truly keep those two commandments, our whole Christian life can be hinged right there. And every deed, everything is available to us because of those promises. So I'm not saying not to be enthusiastic sometimes at all, to be like James or John. They were. Jesus did rename them the sons of thunder because they were so bold at times, and Peter. And these are the guys who eventually are so dealt with that they've changed at the end of their life. There's this huge change that takes place. And it was interesting for me as I was reading the scripture up a couple of things is that James, one of the sons of them, that said, I can't drink that cup. He was the first apostle that was martyred. The very first. He was martyred by the soul, by the sword, you find that in Acts 12. So Jesus has a way of when you do. Working those things with him. So that's why we see that John is, he might have been the longest of the things that he suffered in that life. At the hands of the Romans, at the hands of even the church, as they came into these different heresies and stuff. The end of his life is on an island by himself. The Lord shows up there. So anyway, let's take heart of these disciples that they, sometimes we read in you and we can go, man, they were kind of dense. And they were. But so are we. And God's grace is so great, His love is so great, that He takes the most dense of us, the most unworthy of us, and He redeems that to be able to fulfill His will, His kingdom. Not necessarily ours.